Welcome to another episode of TSR Rewind.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of TSR Rewind. This is for the month of March of 2015. And this sure has been a busy month. I counted up the articles, and I published 20 articles in the month of March. So that's 20 articles in 31 days. Not too shabby. Maybe I need to get away from the computer a little while, though. And all right, guys, let's get right into it. I started off March publishing an article on the 1st about how busy everybody seems to be. In fact, I recounted a story back when I used to work for a defense contractor in Virginia. I worked with somebody who was so busy during the weekends that his workday, the weekdays, were actually his time to relax. And to me, that is a schedule that is just too damn busy. Now, there's nothing wrong with being busy, but I would think that if you're going to work to relax, to get away from your schedule, you might just be a little bit too busy. I mean, let's be honest, the heart and mind need some time to relax and process information from throughout the day. I mean, think of this as like a reboot for your brain, just like you might reboot your computer to clear out its memory and make everything run faster. Our bodies work the same way. We need to give it enough time to just sit and chill and relax and decompress and just kind of be by ourselves in the peace and quiet. Also this month, I published a guest post over at evenstevenmoney.com, which is another personal finance early retirement blog, about the art of staying positive and how with the right attitude, life really does just become so much easier to manage, and it really all begins with the ability to stay positive, look at the bright side of things, and expect things to go right, because as the placebo effect would have you believe, would prove that when you expect things to go wrong, things probably will go wrong. And when you expect things to go right, likewise, things probably will go right. So even if you're just tricking yourself into believing that things are going to go right, just to see the benefits of the placebo effect, what works, works. Also in March, I was nominated for the Leapster Award from DebtlessInTexas.com. And the Leapster Award is just a way for smaller or newer blogs to kind of get the word out there about themselves, what the blog is all about, and specifically what the blog writer is all about. And this is a nice little way to kind of a lighthearted discussion that puts smaller blogs on the map a little bit. And my blog is only a couple months old, so I thought it was appropriate to accept, respond to, and also continue on to 3 nominated blogs of my own. And you guys get to learn a lot about me. For example, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I rode a sport bike for the longest time. My guilty pleasure is watching Judge Judy. There's something about her no-nonsense attitude that I just happen to like. I also absolutely hate IPA beers. The hoppier the beer, the more I just don't like it. I'm partial to ambers. And I am musically challenged to the nth degree. I couldn't play a recorder, those little simple musical devices that we used to play back in elementary school. It just sounded like somebody was killing a pig, and it was not pretty. And I also took the opportunity this month to really attack higher education more than I already have. I wrote an article in the past about whether college is really necessary anymore. And I wrote an article mid-March about how we implicitly have an idea in our heads about the fitness of somebody to succeed, for example, based on the school that they went to. I overheard somebody at the gym telling somebody else, stay in school or you will wind up at Michigan State. And you typically don't hear something like stay in school or you'll wind up at Stanford or you'll wind up at Harvard or MIT or Princeton. And it was all said in jest. But there's an element of truth behind that. And I wrote an article attacking the assumption that just because somebody went to a better school, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're more educated or they're going to be more successful or make more money. I would agree that they're highly motivated because the standards to get into some of these Ivy League schools are, of course, quite high. So if you do make it into those schools, there's an argument to be made that, well, you're pretty determined, you're pretty motivated, so you will probably get your job done and get it done well. Statistics have proven that just because you attend one of these big name Ivy League schools, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be more successful or make more money. You're just going to work harder. There's going to be more stress, more frustration, And I certainly did not go to an Ivy League school. I went to a no-name school in Colorado. But I would certainly put my success and my happiness up against any Ivy Leaguer any day of the week. And speaking of college, just a couple days after that, in fact, I wrote an article that talks about the five gems, the five bits of wisdom that I wish I knew in college. For example, college isn't all that it's cracked up to be. I don't need to go into that. I've gone into that in excruciating detail on the blog. Work is nothing but a means to an end. Good things come to those who wait. Professionals are not all that professional all the time. And lastly, money is meant to be saved and not spent. I think that I could very well be retired at this very moment right now, sitting right here talking to you through this microphone, if I understood these principles in college. I started off my life out of college spending a lot of money. I blew through half of my salary buying a used Corvette the year that I graduated. So a lot of those expenses added up to many, many additional years of me working. Obviously, I can't go back and change that. I'm not dwelling on that, but I'm using those mistakes of the past to certainly better my future. And I think that if I had realized some of these aspects of life and of money and of savings back in college, I would probably be even better off than I already am today. And yes, finally, it is springtime. We no longer in Arizona have to deal with these really cold winter days of highs in the 60s and 70s. Springtime is finally here once again in Arizona. The Arizona people have prevailed once again and have seen their way past an incredibly cold winter. But really, the only thing that this means is 100 degree temperatures are right around the corner. In fact, just this past weekend, it got up to a whopping 93 degrees, I think, both days. So, quite warm. Good weekend to try out the pool. And also, in that springtime article, I talked about a little project that my wife and I are taking on. Truth be told, it's more her than me, but we extracted some really old beat-to-shit chairs that have been just stored in our backyard. We sanded them down and stained them, and quite frankly, they look like new now. My wife is knitting this huge area rug that's made, believe it or not, out of bed sheets. I mean, rugs are expensive, really expensive, especially for a nice rug. But we are putting in some sweat equity here and designing this rug made of bed sheets. It's really colorful. We're dyeing the sheets different bright colors. We're also putting on our own homemade cushions, both to support our butts a little bit as well as our backs. So the seats are very comfy. So close to free, especially low cost seating arrangements in our backyard right around the pool. Everything homemade. Every time we will sit in those chairs over the summer, we will appreciate the work that has gone into it. It wasn't just a trip out to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever store you happen to have that sells this kind of furniture. This is something that we made ourselves, and we will be darn proud of it. And also, I wrote about an interesting topic actually published from the Enemy of Debt blog. He talked about applying the concepts of intermittent fasting techniques to your spending habits. So what is intermittent fasting? It's when during a typical day, you would only eat during a small window during that day, and that's it. So for example, in a 24-hour period, you may only eat during 8 hours of the entire 24-hour period. So you would fast, effectively, the other 16 hours. That certainly takes some getting used to. But it simplifies your diet, believe it or not, and could actually wind up saving you some money in food because you may not be able to take in that many calories in just that 8-hour period. So if you apply that same principle to spending, what if you only spend like from 7 a.m. on Friday to 7 a.m. on Sunday every week? And that's it. No more spending unless it's like a bill that comes due or it's a legitimate emergency. So if you stick to a 48-hour window of spending during the week, would we see the same kind of spending habits as we do with our eating habits when we employ this? I might try it. A couple of commenters said that they will probably give it a shot. It's interesting enough to consider at least, and this might help some people out there. And towards the end of the month of March, it was in the evening around 7:30, I heard one of our dogs bark by the back door. And this is the kind of dog who never, ever, ever barks for anything unless it's really important. So naturally, my wife and I were pretty concerned. We immediately got up from the couch in the living room and went to see what the problem was. We didn't really see anything. So I went outside with my dog to check things out, see if she would lead me to something. But she just kind of stood around and moseyed around. I thought it was a false alarm. But as I was returning back inside, I just happened to look up into the sky, and I saw the biggest halo around the moon that I have ever seen in my life. This sucker was huge, and it was also beautiful. So, I mean, the photog in me, I immediately ran inside, grabbed my Nikon camera, a wide-angle lens, and a tripod, and came back outside and got some pictures of it. I think they turned out really, really well. I published that article, I think it was the 30th of March, with three different photos that I took from our backyard, 30-second really long exposures. But this reminded me really of how beautiful our natural world is, but we don't often take the time to just stand back or just sit down and observe the beauty that really is around us. We're just so busy with our lives. There's things to watch on TV. There's emails to respond to, or there's blogs to create or update or whatever. There's always a reason to be preoccupied and distracted from our natural world. But my dog barking at seemingly nothing made me understand, made me realize that there really is a lot of beauty out there, and maybe I should be taking a lot more time to take that all in. And last but certainly not least, I talked about turning your life into a black and white photo. Now, I've decided in my photography hobby that I'm probably going to shoot, for the most part, black and white from here on out. I really love the way black and white photos turn out. And this institutes several changes in the process that I go through to get these shots naturally, because there's no more color involved. So I don't have to worry about that aspect. It's just shades of gray. It's all pure substance and contrast. In some ways, it's easier to shoot because you don't need to worry about color. But in other ways, it's tougher to shoot because you don't have the color to make up for what substance, what content might not actually be in the photo, but it's just being covered up by some beautiful light. And this reminded me, turning photos into black and white is the same as turning your life into black and white. You're getting rid of the extra. You're getting rid of the clutter, I guess, if you would consider color to be clutter. It's certainly extra. The shades of gray is just the pure foundational crude elements of beauty. And can you see that in your life? If you turn your life into something that's akin to a spectacular, magnificent Ansel Adams black and white photo, what do you have to do? Well, you have to simplify. You have to get rid of what's unnecessary. And then, in my opinion, you just have to relax. Just sit the hell down and just let your mind wander. Resist the temptation to completely plan every minute of your weekend. Like I said earlier, just relax, just do nothing for a while. Do nothing. I mean, if you have to plan do nothing hours into your day, do that. Maybe from Saturday between the hours of 2 and 4 p.m., 2 and 3 p.m., whatever. You are purposely doing nothing, and nothing can interfere with that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for another episode of TSR Rewind for the month of March 2015. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. I certainly appreciate it. And I will see you next time when I review April of 2015. I hope it's going to be a good month. I think it will be.
This has been a production of TSR Radio.